Steve Arterburn here for New Life Life. Thanks for joining us today on New Life. We're glad you're with us with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Henry Cloud, your phone calls. It's going to be a great day. Stay tuned.
I really appreciate your show. It's been a big blessing to me.
I have two teenage boys. Maybe for a couple weeks it'll be okay, and then all of a sudden we slip up again.
Whoa. Can you translate what all of a sudden means?
After I sobered up, I wasn't numb enough to drown out what was aggravating me with my mother.
Okay.
That's well put, by the way.
In my heart, I don't think that it's important enough to tell her.
Well, if it's not important enough to tell her, are you sure it was important enough to divorce?
You know, sometimes we only think there's two options.
Is that because you were clueless in that time?
You know, that is a very good possibility.
This is one of the prices of boundaries.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Glad you're with us today with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
How are you?
Good. Glad
you
to be
know,
here.
How are you, Steve?
I'm good. You know, last time we were together, we had this kind of an interesting call about cousin dating and cousin marriage. And
yes, it kind of.
And Henry,
you're going to bring that back up because it's the one where we didn't know really where to even.
But here's the thing.
Kind of went round and
round. You had this thing where you found out that the United States was the only Western culture that prohibits cousin marriage?
And it's not countrywide. It's state by state. But
state
by
state?
Yeah.
That is so interesting that I wonder why.
But
maybe we should list the
cousins,
states where
right?
It's legal. No, I don't know. But is there a genetic defect issue with first cousins?
Well,
I think that's the big fear. Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, there's different perspectives.
Yeah.
If you read about it, there's studies that, you know, say one thing, studies that say others. So
that's why interbreeding.
That's
issue.
Why we said we don't know. We didn't know the answer to that one.
Kind of the interbreeding issue.
We can give the Bible. Mm-hmm. The Bible was, you know, it's all over the place in the Bible.
Well, at one point you had to marry a cousin.
That was as distant as you could get.
You had to, didn't you? I mean,
you went from siblings to cousins.
Yeah.
So. It's sort
but
of like
we don't have to do that anymore.
It's sort of like that. I don't know if y'all remember this. We got a call one time, and we've been talking about dating, and you know, kind of encouraging people to, you know, to join up a dating service and other kind of stuff to, you know, get out there.
Right.
And so this lady calls up, and she says, "I can't believe you're telling people that they should be dating. That's not the biblical way." And I go, "Well, what is the biblical way?" She said, "Well, God always, you know, in the biblical ways, God always brings the woman to the man." And I said, "Well, you know, if you want to prescribe the biblical way, there's a bunch of them. You can go have a war and capture a few of them. You can hide behind the trees and when they pass by, jump out and grab them. You can do an arranged thing with parents. You can go work for some guy for 7 years and he'll give you the wrong one in the dark." There are a lot of ways this was done in the Bible. And so sometimes, you know, there just aren't those clear answers.
Yeah.
But we know that dating services are not prohibited in the Bible.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything.
No, it doesn't mention those.
Yeah, fortunately.
Do you know?
I have a question after this.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
because we're on Christian radio, right? Do you know that when Moody first was saying, you know, we should do Christian radio, you know that there was a lot of opposition to that?
Oh, the radio wasn't Christian?
No, because the radio was controlled by the prince of the powers of the air.
Oh.
And you shouldn't do Christian things on radio. How about that?
Yeah.
The powers of the air.
I bet also they'd make a case anything other than the word in text might. You know, if you're going to transmit the word, it should be written, not over the air or something like that.
So how would people have a quiet time before the printing press?
I don't know.
Think about that one.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come right back after this for more of New Life Live.
Oh. I want to thank my husband for bringing me here.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Dallas October 19th through the 21st.
We are leaving here as new people and a new couple, I think truly with hope for the future.
Join Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the seven things that you need to stop right now and the seven things you need to start doing in your marriage and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Artiburn here with two of my favorite people, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr.
Hi,
Henry
Steve.
Cloud. Glad you guys are here. Let's go over to Jesse from Boston, Massachusetts, W-E-Z-E. Hi there.
Hi, I am so glad to be speaking with you guys and Jill. I've been listening for, seems like, decades.
Well, thanks for joining us. How could we help you today?
Well, I have been married to a man for over 20 years, and he is emotionally distant, very unrealistic, and deceptive. It's caused debt. Us to be in debt, and just an awful lot of pain, my trying for years to try to get through in so many different ways. I realize in the midst of all that I, you know, learned from you guys that I'm probably somewhat codependent, and try to been working on that for myself.
Okay.
You know? Because I've also been confused, you know, am I a masochist for coming up with the constant vacancy that I see in him? It's very sad.
All right. So how could we help you?
Well, I don't know what to do next.
Okay.
I did tell him recently to move out for a break. I got tough because I have a hard time being tough for myself, you know. And I said, look, I think you should move out. And I also said that I thought he should go on some kind of weekend. I didn't know if you had available healing as a choice. You know, I just said, check with the guys on the radio and online and see what they have available and get some therapy and get back to me. I said, we'll talk.
All right. So what's the question for us then?
Well, I don't know what to do next. Do I join, you know, some kind of group?
Well, Jesse, you said you've been working on the codependent issue. So what have you done?
I went to a few Al-Anon meetings, although there isn't alcohol involved.
It's okay.
He's a very brilliant man. He's got a PhD. He's got, you know, a line of degrees. I don't have any degrees, so... my losing my temper, he strongly disapproves of. Mm-hmm. That can get in the way of trying to communicate.
Okay, so you went to a few Al-Anon groups.
Yes, and we've also been to at least 6 different therapists. I suggested he go to a men's group, went to that therapist with him. I said, well, gee, maybe I could go. And I thought, oh, boy, maybe she's going to see a little of what I see. She decided it was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh boy, okay, this is not going to work.
Okay.
I've accepted my blame. I've been mea culping all over the place for 20 plus years. So I don't know what to do next. I'm really heartbroken, and I know I can't
well,
change him.
Yeah, where is he in the picture?
Yeah.
What is he saying?
He says a couple of different things. He says, well, I guess it's probably not going to work. Maybe we should get counseling for breaking up.
What does he say about his level of desire for the relationship?
I don't know.
Okay, I think you need to find that one out first, Jesse. Here's what I would suggest. You guys have been kind of all over the map. And why don't you sit down with him and say, look, let me ask a question. Do you want to be married to me?
Right.
And get an answer for that. Okay, if you do, and I do, then let's make a commitment that we're going to go down a path to make that work. And then let's both decide on what our shared criteria would be for the path that would make that work. And so what you do is you come together with a list of things that you agree with in the path that you're going to get help. So we want somebody that, you know, has a commitment to marriage. We want somebody that understands the Bible. We want somebody that helps, you know, has a lot of experience. Whatever those things are, okay? And then you come together on a place where you've got agreement already, and then try that path. But this kind of like here and there and dropping out and who wants what and all that, you're just going to keep reacting, I think.
And it sounds like you said, he's kind of heady.
He's very smart.
Emotional. Okay.
But he's not smart emotionally. No.
Right?
He's expected me to do a lot of maintaining of any kind of problem. He doesn't want to hear anything negative about anything.
Okay. So that's where I think Henry's idea is a good plan, because you can start with both of you, you know, putting your ideas out there and it being kind of a logical thing. And that may be something that he'll buy into,
right.
You know, because it makes sense, right?
Right. Yes.
So, and then as you guys get into it, you'll need some help, some people to come alongside you. But you've got to both buy into the process.
Right. And if you've seen six therapists, how did those typically end?
Well, the last one, she said that she thought we needed more than what she had to offer. She had been in the business for a while. She was a secular therapist, but she suggested hour and a half once a week.
It may be that you guys have not had somebody skilled enough to deal with you. Is that possible?
I think it's very possible.
Okay. Well, yeah. why don't you try to go down that path? But I would suggest it not in a playing ping pong kind of way, but sit down with him and say, let's stop wasting our time and let's agree on, if we're going to go down this path together, that we figure out how to do it together. We can at least agree on the desired outcome, and we can agree on the path to get there. What we don't agree on is kind of like where the issues are, and that's what normal conflict's about anyway.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I'm glad that you called. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, newlife.com. Those are the phone numbers to call if you need some help. You know, limbo is a horrible place to live. If you're the one that's causing it, or you're experiencing it because somebody else is indecision, what a horrible place. Do something. Get on with life. I mean, don't just live there. You've got to get some help.
But people stay there a lot because to get out of limbo, you have to give up something.
That's right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call if you need some help. If you're in limbo, you know, maybe you're in prison, limbo prison. We want to help you. Call us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number. All right. Why don't we talk with Gene from Meridian, Mississippi? Hello, Gene. How you doing?
Doing fine.
What's going on in your life today?
I have two sons and one stepson. We all live in the same town, and I have three daughters-in-laws, and one of them has been very, very difficult since the day I met her 8 years ago.
Okay.
There have been periods of time when things have seemed fine, and then all of a sudden, this last time, she had, from what my son told me, we had all gone out to eat, and things had been going well for a while, and my family went out to eat, and she got up and left a moment, and he said, Mama, do you notice things are better? And I said, yes, I do. She seems just normal. And he told me that they had found a medication, and he said he could get home from work now, and things seemed you know, calm when he got home. He could relax a little bit, and I was so pleased. This went on for a while until I kind of got used to things being normal, and then I invited all of them to my home, to our home, to eat a meal together, and I couldn't get any response from him or from her. And the following week, and my other children came and ate, and I found out, though, in church from my stepson, he
Now, hold on 1 second. What broke down? Y'all were supposed to have a meal together?
We were. My stepson works out of town, and he's home every 2 weeks, and he lives next door to me. And when he's at home, I try to get our family together.
Right.
It's when you have boys in the family and not girls, it's hard to get the boys together, and I try to keep us together. And they responded, and they came, but I didn't even get a response from my oldest son, and which was I thought was kind of odd, but figured he's busy cutting grass or something and didn't think that much about it. And on Sunday, I found out from my stepson that they were supposed to have played golf the day before, and for some reason my oldest son didn't. And I said, well, is he okay? I haven't heard from him. Well, I got a call from my son the following week, and he said the reason he didn't respond was because his wife has told him to have no communication with me whatsoever.
And so he did contact you.
I called him at work.
Yeah, and so he took the call. And
oh, yes.
Okay, and so and then he said, and so he's going to follow his wife's orders and not ever contact you again? Is that what he told you that day?
All of their life, he has had to pretty well. For instance, my stepson says, I get so sick and tired of her calling him 20 times while we're trying to play golf. And he would say, he said he told my son, just don't answer the phone. And he says, I have to. She'll make me pay for it if I don't. They have a couple of precious little girls. I haven't seen them in 6 or 8 weeks.
All right.
Either.
So no, that's awful. What is the question for us?
I saw him last night.
Uh-huh.
Amazing thing. After church last night, I went to the store, and
yeah.
I said, God, if I could just see him at a place like this, I'm kind of mourning for him in a way, you know, a bit, and the grandchildren, if I could just see him. And believe it or not, I did. There he was.
Okay, so how could we help you now that we're on the phone here? What could we help you with?
We went to a counselor. She called me several years ago and wanted to know if I could attend a counseling session. I was like, me? What, me? And that's when I began to realize that she sees me as the problem.
Okay, you're going to have to ask a question. How could we help you? Okay.
Should I expect my son to stand up to her? Even though he says, Mama, things have got to work out. Things are going to have to work out, but not right now.
All right.
Just trying to keep the peace.
Here's the thing. You need to try to help your son in the best way possible because he's got a big problem. He doesn't know how to help her, and so you're going to have to help him. You can't really do anything about her.
Yeah,
right.
He's in charge of his response to her.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I am helping him by I'm not calling them. I'm not seeing them. I'm not seeing the children. I'm having no communication with them whatsoever. I'm leaving it all up to him. That's my way of helping him because he told me last night when I saw him that he had gotten in trouble because she found out that he had called me 2 weeks ago. But how did she find out?
It's not good for him. It's not good for him to be in that kind of bondage anyway. This is not good. It's not good for the grandchildren to not be able to see their grandmother.
Right.
And it's not the whole thing's not good. So I think that, you know, to whatever degree that you can kind of encourage them to work this out and that you want to help and all that, you do as much as you can. There comes a point where you can only do what you can do. But I don't think
you
necessarily
just stand. What do you think
about
her calling the daughter-in-law again? They went to counseling before. What if Jean asked her, you know, could we go to counseling again? I feel like there's something that's happened.
That's what I mean. you can reach out and make as many overtures as possible. Ultimately, you can't control her. And if she's really, I mean, it sounds like she's got some really, really significant issues. But I don't know if you just, you know, kind of unplug without a process. Generally, we unplug after we've tried all that we can try.
I've unplugged because that makes it, when I'm
less
totally
conflictual.
Out of the picture, they're better off.
I'm not sure about that. And I'm wondering where
his
dad is.
He's not okay on the golf course.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I'm worried about him. I'm worried about them.
I'm wondering, what about dad? What about kind of a whole family meeting?
Right. Where,
you know, to say, we're a family here, and somebody is suffering, and we want to be of help. What can we do?
Courage is called for.
Yes.
And wisdom. We'll be back after this.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Let's go to Melody from Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Melody.
Hi, how are you?
I know that you watch us on FamilyNet, and we're glad that you do. How could we help you?
Well, I'm in a situation where all my life I've done going to school and being around people, listening to my parents and all that. I went to school, did the right thing, well-behaved, planned ahead, went to college, tried to do the right thing. Now, I guess I'm in this economic whirlwind downturn. I've already lost my job. I'm facing losing my home. Everything is just threatened, my financial foundation. I can't seem to get any help from friends or family or my church, and it might be because Say that again, please.
It might be because of what?
They're in the same hard times we all are in this economic downturn. You know, I said the same pickle, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just calling to find out, what can I do to reassure myself to not give up or find strength when I feel as if I've hit the very flat bottom, tapped out, and don't know where to turn.
Yeah, that's a good
question. It's a hard place to be.
Have you ever had to face anything like this before?
No, I haven't. This is in my life.
Hmm.
About your life?
I mean, this kind of devastation, financial scorched earth process, you know?
I didn't understand the answer to whether you had faced
this
before.
Your phone is breaking out. So it's the first time in your life this has happened, Melody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it sounds like the people you would normally turn to, you said they're all in it too. So for a lot of people are struggling that maybe haven't struggled in this way before. So you can't turn to those people for financial support. But I think there is a lot to be said for coming together and sharing the emotional burden of it, because it is really scary. And, you know, we put our hope in things like jobs and houses and money. And, you know, when those are gone, it's hard to remember that God is going to meet us in that place, because I think our fear can often get the best of us. And that's where when you have people that you're coming together with that are all kind of working on things toward, you know, a recovery process from these losses, but can support each other. Because when one person is down, another person may have some hope. So you kind of have to share the hope.
Well, my question is, are you in a church that has a small group?
Yes.
You're in a small group?
Yes, I am. Uh-huh.
Okay. And are they helping you emotionally through this? Are they there for you?
Well, it's like this. I think they offer as much emotional support as they can.
Uh-huh.
But, I really would like to help you, but I'm sorry, I got to get to work, or good luck, we'll pray for you. And I said, well, can I, you know, give me a right entry, maybe? Well, if I have time, I might.
Give what?
I'm not too,
Did you say a ride to the food pantry?
Yeah, uh-huh. And I'm not too proud to ask because it's an honest request. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sure. Well, I'm sorry for what you're going through.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
But I try to stay positive. It's very hard, and it's getting difficult, actually. But I am trying.
Well, and that's where I think that people that are also going through the same thing, and I know a lot of churches also have networking groups for people who have lost jobs that help get them, you know, their resume up to speed and create some opportunities. You know, those kinds of places, and in some kind of support group, it's time limited. Everybody's there because they're wanting the help and support. So that's often a good place.
Let me give you kind of a little bit of a list here, too. I think that I agree with these guys about you. You really do need some support around you with peers that are going through similar things, so it kind of gets normalized and you feel like you're not the only one. In addition to that, though, I think you also need some support from some people who are, like, in a stronger place where they can really give you, you know, encouragement and hope and a helping hand and all that kind of stuff, too. So that might be a different kind of group. And at the same time, what really helps is when you are finding out, you know, exactly what all of this means to you. A lot of times people go through very, very hard times. And whatever the kind of hard time they're going through, say it's economic, for a certain person, that doesn't symbolize things that it does to other people, because it gets into kind of personal stuff. And like some people see it as, well, it's just money, or it's just a house, I'll figure it out. And they go on, as long as they have all their close relationships and everything, it's kind of a bump in the road. For other people, it symbolizes, because other things, it taps into messages in their head of a parent that said, you'll never amount to anything, you'll be on the street one day, all that kind of horrible, horrible stuff. And they feel it at a devastatingly personal level. So I think you have to get into the symbolic part of it. And the other thing is that sometimes, you know, what we have to do, and you're seeing a lot of people in this economy, what we have to do when sometimes entire industries go away that are what we are trained for. And we have to be in an active mode of regrouping and figuring out, how am I going to aggressively go attack tomorrow, maybe retooling some other skills or making other adaptations. And that's a part of feeling good and having hope, too. So I think it's a lot of different things. And I think we always have to be attacking it on all those levels.
I hope that's,
you know, I'd be in the Bible all over those verses that says, you know, all the ones about where God is going to provide for you and He is your shepherd and all of that, and you just let those be your strength as well as all these other things.
We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think, that's why I do it, because there's just so much out there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. It is New Life Live. Let's talk to Sam from Winnipeg, Canada, listening on the internet. Hey there. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Sam.
My question is, I had an affair 3 years ago, and my husband hasn't forgiven me and still harbors a lot of anger inside of him. And I'm wondering how we can move forward from there.
All right, so 3 years ago, did you confess it, or did he catch you in the affair?
He pulled the information out of me painfully.
Uh-huh. Okay, and so what happened then? Did you guys get counseling? Did you get some help?
What? We did get some counseling for, I would say, it was under a year where we did go together to get some counseling. But then after that, he just decided he was done, and he was done trying to work at it, and it was over, according to him.
Mm.
So we still live in the same house. We have 4 children. They're all 9 and under. And we stay in separate bedrooms. Anytime I come anywhere near him in the same room, he jumps away.
Oh, wow.
From me. It's not pretty. It has gotten much, much better, I have to say. I'm determined to have restoration and reconciliation in our home, but I don't know how to move forward and have the marriage be over and live in a home that is not unified and where there is absolutely, where the children see just no affection between their parents at all.
So when he said it's over, he couldn't tolerate any more of the counseling. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he was done with everything.
But he just shut down.
What's that?
He just shut down?
Completely, yeah.
Why did it break down? Why did the counseling break down?
I don't know. He said right from the beginning he would give it a certain amount of time, and if he couldn't get past it, then he was going to quit.
So what's he saying now?
That the marriage is over, it, but he wants to work together with me as parents.
So stay married but not have a marriage? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. We're not legally separated, nothing. I have started with the legal separation process.
Hmm.
It's something that is very hard for me to do, but I did feel like God was leading me in that direction. It's not complete, and I don't know if I'm supposed to complete it or not. I don't know how to move forward like this. For me, either we move forward as a family that's united or as a family that's not united. Either way, we're going to be a family. He's my husband. I believe that God gave him to me for a reason, and I'm going to honor that, but I don't know how to move forward.
Okay. Has he ever talked to you about, or have you ever talked to him about making some kind of restitution?
No.
Where you would say to him, this is really horrible for us, and I feel horrible about why we're in this place. Is there anything I could do to make restitution for what I've done that might get us back to a different place?
Kind of like, what is he still needing from you?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What could I do that could change things for the better?
I've tried that in different ways. I don't know if I've said exactly that. He does know that I'm willing to do whatever it takes for restoration, and that I love him. He knows that. I believe he now knows that again.
But the question that Steve is asking forces him to own the wish and the need behind it. See, if you're standing there and he knows that you'll do anything, that allows him to stand in the space of his not having to do anything. And so when you say, I will do whatever it takes, what is it that you need or want or am asking for that I haven't done yet?
Yeah.
And then see that pushes him to a vulnerable statement.
Yes.
And if he says there is nothing you can do, then you say, well, if there weren't anything, then you wouldn't be taking this kind of stance.
Yeah.
Obviously,
right.
There's something that you're not getting.
Mm-hmm.
So what is
right.
it that you're not getting? Because I want to do it.
Right.
Because there's no just standing still. You guys can't just stay in the same spot. You're either, like you said, you're either moving forward and you're growing together, or it's deteriorating.
Right, exactly.
So it's moving in one direction or another.
Right.
So
and so the choice is there.
What is it that you need from me? What could I do that could make this better? When he says there's nothing, then...
Which is what he says.
That could help you be willing to have a marriage,
right.
Not just a charade.
Right.
Or not just a hollow commitment.
I got to tell you, if he is moving out of your space when you walk into a room and he moves like that, if you get close to him, that is one miserable human being.
And it's
what
also,
a sad thing.
It's also somebody that still needs something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got to get to.
And the impact on the kids seeing that kind of a situation is pretty sad.
Yes, it is.
So your willingness, your humble attitude, your willingness to do whatever you can is really, I think, your best hope.
Right.
Which it sounds like you have. Right?
Yeah.
That is,
I believe so.
That's the stance you've taken before God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you remember... you know, when Jesus had the famous statement of let anybody cast the first stone.
Right.
It was with the woman caught in adultery. And so we would hope that as bad as he is trying to make or ends up having you, I don't know if he's trying to, but ends up having you feel about what's going on now. What's going on now is, you know, in part his stance that he's taking towards you. And make sure that you don't confuse that one with God's view of you, which is that he has forgiven you and he hears your heart of where you want to do, what you want to do going forward.
Right.
All right.
And Sam, I think, too, if his decision is to stay exactly like you guys are, then that does tell you something. If he won't give you anything, then, you know, the steps you're taking towards making some legal moves may be the direction you have to go.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I hope that will help you. And I ask folks to pray for you and your situation. You know, the book, The 7-Minute Marriage Solution, we've talked about it. We've got a test program for you to see if there is a 7-Minute Marriage Solution. We'll send you 30 days of devotions that, for 7 minutes, get you and your husband face-to-face, in prayer, with God's Word. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Go to newlife.com to get that. And then let us know what you think. We think it could change everything. You know, willingness is the key. We just talked to a woman. There is no willingness on the part of the husband. But if two people are willing and you come together like this every day, the results can be absolutely astounding. So call us and let us send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution. It's a 30-day devotional booklet. And I hope and pray that it'll get you in the Word, get you reconnecting with each other. It could change everything.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
To your comment about the willing thing.
Yeah.
You know what one of the most helpful things that I ever heard was?
What is it?
The prayer when you say to God, I'm not really wanting or willing to do this, but I'm willing to be made willing.
Mm-hmm.
And just coming with that total honesty and total surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not there yet, but please create in me a new heart, yeah, like David said. And the willing to be made willing, I think, is a great prayer.
You know, another insight that hit me in the head about a year ago was that we're often asking people to surrender and, you know, totally give everything they've got. And people just, it's hard to get to that place, you know. A lot of times people have to go through a lot more pain. Okay, so if you're not there, just comply. If you're not willing to give everything,
start
just
with complying.
Yeah, just you know, follow a rule or two that other people have followed. Maybe you don't believe in it, you don't like it, but try compliance if you don't have total surrender, and see if that doesn't get you into a better place.
Which is surrender.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. To me, it's surrender with a less than good attitude. You know, it's,
well, that's kind of what, yeah, what I was saying. That
just doing
sometimes you're just not, you know, if you look at Jesus before he went to the cross, he wasn't really happy about going there, right?
He just
said, Father,
right, yeah,
you know, take this away from,
yeah,
me.
Mm-hmm.
But he did say, not my will, but thine.
Yeah.
And he was willing in that sense. And so when we're willing to be made willing, we will still will the things of God and say, mm-hmm, yeah, I'm going to go do this, but I really need help on the inside.
Yeah.
Need a lot of help on the inside.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back for the final segment here right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. We've got Every Man's Battle coming up in Philadelphia this Friday. It's not too late to get in. And the Marriage Weekend, October 19th. And the Weight Loss Weekend, November the 9th. We'll be back after this.
Hi there. This is Mike Nason. I'm the newest addition to the New Life team. You know, I have worked with ministries for the past 40 years, and I have to tell you, I never dreamed one ministry could offer so much help and hope until I came to work for New Life. One of the first things I did, Steve got me into one of those groups at a New Life weekend, and you know what? It changed me forever, and it changed the guys in my group. You know, today we still talk every Saturday morning on the phone after a year and a half, and then Steve had me to go up and see an Every Man's Battle, and I got to tell you, the changes in those men were dramatic and lasting. So would you come alongside of me and do what I do and support this great, life-changing, great work for God's kingdom? All you have to do is call right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or that's 639-5433, or go online at newlife.com and make that donation today.
I've had a weight problem all my life, and I've been on almost every single diet there is.
When I came to the weekend, I was barely leaving my house.
If you want help in the battle to control your weight, New Life's Weight Loss Weekend can help.
There's a lot of us out there who have struggled with our weight.
And so many times people try to fix it with a diet.
I knew I couldn't do it by myself. I had to have help.
Let Steve Arterburn and New Life's group counselors help you uncover your past hurts and begin healing.
I have found a plan that works for me, and I think that that's the answer.
The New Life Weight Loss Weekend is Friday, November 9th through the 11th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com. You don't have to be defined by what you weigh any longer. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I am losing weight. I'm feeling better.
I have lost almost 30 pounds.
I am 83 pounds less than what I was.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. By the way, we need your help. Fall, what a beautiful time of the year. Thank God, praise God for the beautiful colors, the beauty in the death scene of a leaf. I mean, a leaf dies and it's beautiful. Thank God for that. Thank that God in some of the most death-producing things of your life. You never looked at death in a leaf.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I love the leaves falling.
Me too. Anyway, I'm just trying to think of any excuse to ask people to support this ministry, including dead leaves. I mean, that's where it is for
me. That's where we've gotten, huh?
Praise God for the beauty that he brings, even in the worst of circumstances.
Yeah.
Even the death of a leaf. Okay, let's go to Ann from Nutley, New Jersey. That may go down as the worst, ever.
The point of
where'd you go to fundraising school?
I know.
At Bob's Pumpkin Farm.
Which actually should move people's hearts, right? Because if whatever we are not good at asking for money.
I did my best.
Too much, yeah, too little.
This is a listener-supported program. Yeah. And so what that means is that it exists because of donations, and so we all
only
donate, and
that.
We want you to donate, mm-hmm. And so we're not very good at asking
no matter what.
So if you like other things we do.
Yeah. So right. Look outside, see any dead leaves, then come join us.
Every how's time that? You see a beautiful dead leaf, think, New Life needs our support.
Boy, do they.
Ann, Nutley, New Jersey, how
we
are you?
It. I used to listen to you in this area until you went off the air down here, but yeah. I still remember you, and you're great.
Well, thanks, Ann.
Well, you know what? You know what, Ann? That's kind of a fundraising message right there, because there are people listening mm-hmm. in other areas, and the only reason the show ever goes off in any area, for the most part, is because that area doesn't support it. So wherever you are, if you want to continue on your station, then we need your help.
That's a much better job, you. Henry, than I did. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Better than the falling leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do support you still.
Thank
but
you,
anyway,
Ann.
Thank you, Ann.
The question that I have is, I have bipolar disorder.
Okay.
And I'm interested in knowing, you know, the things that I might be able to do for it. I mean, I do so many things, but maybe I'm missing some.
Well, do you exercise?
Yes.
You stay on your medication?
I do.
So why are you asking?
You have a lot of support?
Why am I asking? Because I still have all kinds of symptoms.
Okay. Like what? Okay. What are some symptoms that you experience?
Well, I'm hypomanic, and sometimes I feel really good, and then I go down into these deep, deep black hole depressions.
Mm-hmm.
And what does your psychiatrist say?
Well, you know, he just looks at different drugs, and I go to a day program, and I look at different strategies, and now I'm really having a hard time.
Mm, I'm so sorry.
Oh. Have you and your psychiatrist talked about, like, a second opinion or getting a consult or something? Sometimes, you know, these issues with medications are very, very nuanced and very, very complicated. and a very, 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 very good psychiatrist sometimes would get consults and get a second opinion and get other people to weigh in. I've seen that done a lot over the years. Have you guys talked about that? If he's doing everything that he knows to do, getting another idea?
Well, actually, I am at my second opinion person, and I have to see him again to see what else he, will say. And actually, he's, in a very good hospital. So.
All right, let me ask you this. How long have you been on the current medication that you're on?
Probably about 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Well, let's just stay on that medication and see what happens, because many times it takes a lot longer than 3 weeks for medication to truly take hold.
Right.
And you said you're in a day program. I'm wondering if some of the people there could give you feedback. Because a lot of times with bipolar, especially, it's great to have feedback, other people seeing how we're doing, because our own subjective experience sometimes doesn't create a full picture.
That's true.
How are they seeing you? Are you getting as depressed on this medication as you were before? Are you sharing with them?
Actually, I do tell them, what I feel is going on, and they tell me that I'm self-aware and that I just have to keep working. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, it sounds like to me you've got some competent people working with you, and I would just stay the course. And, it's tough.
Right, and there are other factors that come in, too, because there are situational things in our life that can get us down, and so each day, we have to do what we can to help ourselves.
Well, that's
in the best way we know how.
Medication only works like 30% of the time.
Right. It's not the cure all.
How's your church support?
I don't know
support?
What that means.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Henry.
There are medicines oftentimes that work very, very well, and there are medicines that work very, very well for some people, and sometimes some people need a different medication or a bunch of things
right.
mixed
there's some
together.
People that they don't work on
yeah,
as well.
But there's a lot of a lot of hope, and I would just continue to work with the doctors, and you've got to have the medical regimen in place for this.
Right, and there's things that people
and you
are
need
adding
a
in.
Healthy church environment with a small group that understands you, supports you, all of that together with the exercise. And the thing is, about people on medication, if it's not working, so often new medication comes along for folks, and
They're adding things to help with absorption, and
right.
So there's a lot of creativity that's going on.
And I think just being sure that you've got somebody. Like in this case where you need medication ongoing, that you've got somebody that really is up to speed on new medication, mm-hmm. new things that come along. Very, very important. All right, well, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for joining us today here on New Life. Thank you, Dr. Hubbard and Henry. All of you that support us, thank you. If you can support us, maybe you would keep the station that you're listening to on the air, and we would never be without being there for you, like we are in the case of Ann's location in New Jersey. We want to be there, so help us stay on the air, support us. By the way, I'm going to be out in Pennsylvania in Lebanon on the 12th of October at the Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Services Annual Banquet, and then over in Lancaster on the 13th. I would love to see you there. If you are in that area, come join us for the evening. Don't forget, we've got 7 minutes of Marriage Solution for you. It's a devotional book, 30 days. We want you to try it and tell us if it impacted your marriage at all. And the Marriage Weekend is coming up October the 19th. Every Man's Battle is in Philadelphia this Friday. And the New Life Weight Loss Weekend, November the 9th. And you may not know it, but we've got 2 Christian Drug and Alcohol Addiction Treatment Centers that we work with. And we really want to help you. If you're struggling with an addiction, we can help you. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to newlife.com. And don't forget, when you're figuring out who to support, ask God if we're a ministry worthy of your support. And that's where He would lead you. We do need your help. I thank you for praying for us. So many of you, you pray every day. Thank you for that. We need all the prayer that we can get. We need the supernatural power of God. You call on it in your prayers, and thanks for that.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.